face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady was on Howard Stern this morning, and it turned out to be a pretty good interview. It was not your usual fluff. Brady is clearly a fan of Stern. I thought, from the limited stuff I've heard already, you could tell that Brady was sort of eager to do the interview with Stern because it's Stern, and he likes him.
Yeah.
I thought that sort of came through in what I've heard. Hardy, would you say that's accurate?
He said he was. He said that he used to listen to him driving to work, you know, back while Howard was, still on the air here in Boston. It made it sound like it was, you know, a while ago that he listened to him. But it's not like he was, referencing, you know, old Jackie the Joke Man Martling bits or talking about.
No, I don't mean it that way, though. I just mean it in the sense that he likes Stern and, like, was probably excited to do the interview with him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, how many media things?
He knew it was going to get run.
How many media things do you think Brady is ever excited to do anymore?
Jim Gray.
Not many.
That's it.
He
probably detests doing that Jim Gray interview every Monday.
That's part of the thing with Howard. Like, the number of people who listen to him or have listened to him or could, you know, tell you people who have been on his show or tell you, you know, bits that he's done that you've liked over the years. I mean, it runs the gamut of people, who have, like, some connection to him. And I think, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to go on Howard Stern and be, fawned over for a couple hours? I mean, that's what an interview is. That's why these people, like, dig it so much. It's like you've got somebody hanging on your every word for 2 hours. It's a mark of a good interviewer. It's like you really listen and you really want to know. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, people talk about it. It's like, yeah, I wanted to go on Howard Stern. Yes, because for 2 hours, you get to talk about your favorite subject, you. So who wouldn't want to do that?
You know how Stern, you know, for so long has played the, if they love you, they'll listen for 2 minutes. If they hate you, they'll listen for 10. You know, it's sort of like this thing that's gone on over the years and how he's like the bad boy. Do you know anyone who doesn't like Howard Stern?
Like,
everybody loves Howard Stern. Nobody dislikes Howard Stern. That's a myth that people hate him. Maybe once upon a time they did.
There are people who like aspects of his show, you know, more in the past, or they like aspects of it You know, not, and I mean, people in our building, I don't want to, you know, rat anyone out for, you know, listening to Howard when they could be listening to something else. But, you know, yeah, there are people who like, you know, different eras of his show better than others.
Yeah.
But
the bits, the crazy bits.
Yeah. That's you. There are other people. It's like, no, I just like the interviews. I don't like the Whack Packers stuff. But I think everybody has something that they like about Howard. Sure.
Right. Of course. Bring in the 12-inch kibasi. Let's go. Yeah, that's what you. That was the great Howard. Back in the day. I don't listen anymore, but
yeah,
I don't dislike him.
I still listen. And there's still
maybe
parts
the boomers. You know, maybe the boomers didn't like him or don't like him now. But anyone younger than that loves Howard Stern. I'm sorry, I don't know anyone that doesn't like Howard Stern or hasn't listened to his show.
Brady knew this was going to be huge. Of course he did.
It's not about being huge, though. Brady could do an interview anywhere, and it would be huge.
But you knew this was going to get pumped like anything.
Part of the appeal going on Howard, as opposed to going on with Stephen A. Smith, right? Yeah. Howard doesn't know or care about Deflategate. He might know, but he really doesn't care. He doesn't care about the competitive aspects of the game and how that may have been influenced by, you know, what they did. You know, yeah. He doesn't care about Spygate and stuff like that. And there may have even been an agreement that they weren't going to talk about that stuff. But the stuff that they did talk about, and once they, I said, you know, they got past that early stage stuff in Michigan and becoming, you know, coming to the Patriots and doing all that. Once they started talking about the more personal aspects of his life, and I think his time with Giselle, I thought that stuff was fascinating. I really did.
So he got personal on the Robert Kraft stuff, too, in terms of how he notified Robert Kraft and went over to the house, and he talked about that. And I think he's probably given his best answer to Howard than anyone else. Here it is.
Did you go over to Bob Kraft's house and sit there and say, hey, Bob, this is it. We're done. And do you call? I mean, where do you go to make that announcement to these guys who you've, you know, spent your whole career with?
I called up, you know, Mr. Kraft, and I went over to his house, and I just said, and it was a funny time because we're all dealing with, you know, this current, you know, situation, the corona situation that we're in. And, you know, and I went over and I said, look, I just want to say, you know, how much I love you and appreciate what we've done together. And I know that we're not going to continue together, but, you know, that thank you. You know, thank you for providing what you have for my family and for my career. And then I was able to call Coach Belichick at the same time and thank him. And it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
And that's it. Just a phone call to Belichick. You don't get together with him personally.
I wanted to tell Mr. Kraft, and then I had no opportunity to drive. You know, it was 9:30 at night. On, you know, whatever night, Monday night or Tuesday night of March. And there was no opportunity for me. But I wanted to tell him right away, you know, in the moment. Because, right. You know, too many times in this world, you know, I would say something, someone else would say it. Before you know it, he'd hear from someone else. I wanted to hear from me. How I felt about him. Yeah, I was crying. I mean, I'm a very emotional person. So I think I play with my, you know, I would say I'm a very emotional because I have a deep caring for the people that I've worked with, and I wish nothing but the best for them.
Got emotional or tears over there at the Kraft House.
Right, and it's like, you know, you didn't drive over to Belichick's and you know, a long explanation.
Well, it was 9:30, Hardy.
But, I mean, that explanation does make sense. He's like, no, I don't want anybody finding out about this.
Right.
And then, like, and he said that had happened, you know, many times throughout his career where, you know, you said something and you didn't have a chance to tell anyone else and it got back to him. So, no, they did it all there at one point.
Got it all done and out of the way. One of the good lengthy answers that he gave in an interview that, by the way, how long ago did he wrap up, Jim T-Bone? Like 10 minutes
just
ago?
Just a few minutes ago. I think it was somebody posted it was like over 2 hours. 2 hours and 19 minutes, I think.
2 hours and 19 minutes was the interview. They had some phone issues, like Chris Sale had some phone issues, I heard.
Oh, they had Zoom issues at the beginning where Brady would just freeze and there would be silence. And then it was only, you know, Howard and Robin, you know, they're all three in different places, and they couldn't hear him. So finally, they just ended that connection and went over the phone instead.
And Tom, are you you're renting Derek Jeter's place until you find a place of your own, right? Uh-oh. Tom froze up.
Uh-oh. They said he wouldn't be open.
Yeah, you know what? He closed down. He actually shut off his computer.
Oh, man. Couple of things that I want to get to. So if he had decided before the season that he was leaving, let's talk more about that and hear more from this interview. Tom Brady this morning on an interview with Howard Stern. And your reaction to it, 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere.
The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
When did you decide,
you know,
I want to leave New England and I want to go to a new team? Like, when was that decision made?
I don't think there was a final decision, you know, until it happened. But I would say I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. And I tried to, you know, I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, it's, you know, our time was coming to an end.
Tom Brady knew that the time was coming to an end a year ago, or close to a year ago, the end of last summer. And he knew this was going to be it for him. Shouldn't we go back and sort of look at the season and how Brady reacted to things and how miserable he was at 8-0? And don't we have to question Tom Brady and say, if you were not so dead set on leaving, or you had not decided you were leaving, would your attitude have been better? Would your willingness to work with other players be better? And by the way, he admitted in the interview that he shuts out receivers. That he has told Bill Belichick that, I'm sorry, what?
I think that's pretty evident. I remember during the course of games over this past year, I think it was a Sanu one. I'm like, he's not even looking at him. He was wide ass open. He's like, he's just not throwing it to him. This is after like his third consecutive drop. You can tell that with Harry. Yeah.
So he told Stern today, he goes, yeah, I told Bill Belichick, and I'm paraphrasing, that I'm not going to throw to this guy anymore in game. So he admits that, and I think you now have to go back and sort of look at the year and say, if Brady knew this entire time that he wanted to leave and he didn't want to be here anymore, if you don't want to be somewhere anymore and you've decided that, how can you say that you were the best version of yourself in that time that you did not want to be there and have ultimately decided to leave? Isn't there some of that to look at with Brady?
That's fair.
Say, well, did you do the best job you could do last year? You know, were you putting in the same effort that you typically have throughout your entire career, the thing that has made you the greatest? And if last summer was that line, sort of the line of when he had decided, okay, that's it, I'm pretty much done here.
Yeah, but no, well, I think he's still...
Don't we have to look at everything thereafter and say, was this guy doing everything he should have been doing?
Yeah, I mean, unless you go back and you count the OTAs and time missed there where you weren't here in the offseason, because I think once a season starts, he's all in. He's giving you everything he has. Plus, that would be the benchmark, right, for any teams wanting him as you hit free agency. Here's, you're only as good as your last game or your last year. Here's what I am. So watch the tape. You tell me if I can still play or not. Watch the hole. See how many guys are getting open. See how off my throws are in some stuff. Watch when I ground the ball, and everybody's criticizing me for grounding the ball. And I got two free rushers coming right at me. Yeah. Yeah, I think he gives you everything he had when he played. But he could still be miserable. But he's going to play.
I mean, yeah, he played the games. I mean, no one's debating that.
I don't think he went through the motions. I don't recall him going through the motions much. You can tell when a guy's going through motions.
You can? Do you know that? Like, how would we know?
You just tell on a day-to-day basis. Well, I'm not there day-to-day, so I don't know that.
Right. The other 6 days of the week, how would we know? Right. We wouldn't know. But I think after the fact, when you hear someone was this unhappy and had made a decision last August to leave, according to him, was the case. I just have a hard time believing that anybody is the best version of themselves when they've decided, I can't be here anymore. This is not the spot for me.
Well,
and at 8-0, he's talking about how miserable he is.
Hold on for a second.
How could you expect anyone to be their best?
Because he didn't say that. Now, I don't know if it's going to change like the basis of what you're saying here, Beto, but he didn't say, I made my decision, I was going to leave. He said, I probably knew that it was my last year. And the quote is, I knew that our time was coming to an end. And that's different from, I've made up my mind I was going to leave.
Okay, so you know what? I think the wording there is important, Hardy, because I think he is still trying to say, I left because they didn't want me. Not because I hated New England or hated the team or didn't want to be a Patriot. That's why I think he's sort of phrasing it that way.
Do you think they knew he didn't want him, though?
I knew our time was coming to an end because I knew these guys refused to commit to me, and that I think pisses him off. But
Probably when they didn't address the tight end position, Jim, when he shows up and gets in the huddle and goes, this is what we're doing?
No, it has really to be the August, right? When the contract happened, that's when he knew they didn't want him, according to his mind.
Yeah.
So when he's going to work every day, he's like, these guys don't even want me. He's going to start looking at things that with not so rose colored glasses.
I'm going to have things pissing me off a little bit more. Right.
I don't know. Maybe he was just the bitchy guy at the workplace.
Hey, but then they threw him the bone at the beginning of the year, and that's when he was, I hate to bring it up, first 2 weeks were his happiest weeks here this past year.
Yeah, and again, we're trying to categorize it as one or the other, and this leads us back to why can't it be both? Why can't he have come to some epiphany before the start of the season? You know what? It's true. I do want to do something different, and I do want to go somewhere else, like he said today. I want to experience something different, and this is going to be made even easier by the fact that, obviously, they're not all that keen on keeping me here, at least at a number that I think is reasonable. So it was both. So at that, before the start of the season, he came to the conclusion that it was both. He kind of wanted to do something different, and they didn't necessarily want to pay him for two more years. So that's what it came down to.
I think what Zoe talks about with the receivers is obviously a factor, but I think it went in this order. He's ultimately upset that they don't want him, that they don't want to commit to him with a contract. And then it's the receiver thing is something that's just sort of compounds it.
Yeah, it compounds it.
Yeah, it's not the reason. He's not saying, I'm leaving New England because I don't like the pieces they've put around me. Because if that were true, he would have had other points in his career where he would have said, I need to leave. I don't like my pieces, and when my contract's up, I'm going to make an effort to try and get out of here. You know, and I just don't think that's ever been him. I think that he was pissed off to begin with because they didn't want to commit to him. He said, screw it. They don't want me here. I'm just going to leave at the end of the year, and I'm going to start thinking about that. And then, meanwhile, he doesn't have pieces around him, and then he just gets more aggravated with it.
I mean, nine straight AFC title games you go to, so you're conditioned to play for the Super Bowl every year. Like, that's your benchmark. And he knew it halfway through, even at 8-0. We're not a championship team. We're not. We're going to get in this thing, but we're not one of those teams that have been in the nine previous AFC title games. We're not good enough. And we're not going to be good enough. We won't get there based on our talent. And to your point, Beetle, that is the compounding. Okay, we're doing it, but we're not. I'm telling you, you're going to see it when we start playing better teams and get our ass kicked. And they got their ass kicked down the stretch.
But it's like one more thing he was aggravated with that I got a question. You know, did we get the best version of him? Did we get the best Brady last year? Did he do? And I don't know the answer, by the way.
People rip him for Houston, like getting on their ass in Houston on the sideline. That's late in the year where he's still trying to motivate guys. We've got to play fast, guys. Do you not get this yet? And I think that's one where he said, I'm not throwing the ball to Harry. Get him out of the damn game after that pick. And from the people I talked to, Harry got his ass lit up on the sideline. It wasn't by Brady.
Like, you've also got to wonder if some of these blow-ups that he had this year that were not typical of him. Right? That's not who he's typically been, the throwing of the helmet, which is the one everyone sort of has etched in their brain. Was that a show of, like, was that him also being able to signal to everybody how pissed and aggravated he was at everything? Was that him, you know, showing off a little bit that, you know,
yeah,
this
was the flip. It
was it a kid pouting and making a scene and stomping his feet, you know, about the entire situation, not just about what was happening in that individual game? I wonder that now, too. If it was this bad the entire year.
I don't know. Hogan's thrown his helmet. Edelman's done it. Yeah, they all do it. But that's doing something without having to say anything. You're right. Yeah. Here's the sign, guys. I'm pissed. Yeah, a little frustrated here.
617-779-0985. As Hardy said earlier, the stuff on Giselle and his relationship with his wife was excellent. We'll get to some of that coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Tom Brady gets into his relationship with his wife, Giselle, with Howard Stern this morning. This is the stuff Hardy came for. That's what I think.
I agree.
Let's just get right into it. He talked about a number of different things, about shifting his focus to family, about going to therapy, and just his wife in general. Let's start playing some of these clips.
What was important to her, what was important to me, is our family and our relationship. And at different times, like any married couple, you know, things need to be changed. And, you know, there was, you know, a couple of years ago we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden, when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to, like, check myself. Because she's like, I have goals and dreams, too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family, because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage. So
yeah,
I needed
huge.
To make a change in that.
Your reaction. What do you guys think?
I get what he's saying, because, like, you get to a point where you're so conditioned of everything's about me, and I'm going to play football, then I'm going to be my maniacal training self, then I'm going to get the TB12s, and you just totally get used to people doing things for you. I just didn't know she was that hands-on at home. I would think they would have people, man, like a lot of people. Like, he moves in groups. He has a lot of people around him, handlers. He's got a minimum of 2 to 3 handlers with him. So when you go home, do the handlers not enter the property? Do they get you to home and then they see you in the morning? I would love to know that dynamic of, okay, is Alex upstairs in the attic? Where's he at? Because I know you're getting your 2 massages a day. Like, he's demanding. His time is demanding. And he's demanding
I'm sure,
himself.
Hardy, I'm sure that
After
she drops the kids off at school, she probably heads home like most moms and does the laundry. And
knits a blanket.
You know, and he prepares dinner for that night. And Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Don't they have a personal chef?
Yes.
Don't they have nannies on staff? Like,
I don't know if they had nannies.
I'll take it first of all.
In Tom versus Time, you see the nannies in the video.
Okay. Was this post-retirement for her or pre-retirement, Hardy?
Oh, from Runway? I'm not sure. She did retire from Runway. That we know. Look, the first is the admission that she was not happy with our marriage. Okay? That's a big admission. You know,
that
if the tabloids have been onto something all these years.
That means marriage was in trouble and I need to do something where it's going to be problematic.
Right.
Tabloids have been saying this for years. Obviously, they were onto something there.
Right. Far be it from me to say, you know, what is an equal division of labor in a household? You know, we all presumably think we've got it figured out because we're all still married and stuff. And so are Tom and Giselle. So more power to them. But, you know, when you have help and when you have nannies and you have people preparing meals, okay, there are still things. And maybe it's just a case of, all right, it's not that he needs to be there to fold the laundry because she's been doing it all football season and now it's his turn. Maybe she just wants him home. You know?
Yeah, maybe it's like
I think that's it. You're not seen here.
I don't think that's such a bad thing. Ooh. And I also don't think that it's such a bad thing for Tom to say, well, look, you know, you did retire from the Runway and you did, you know, quote unquote, you know, step back from certain aspects of your business.
Right.
I'm still working. You know, my job has not changed, and part of my job is to, you know, be at OTAs and do this other stuff. But, you know, it was a good exchange there, and a good look inside where he said, look, you know, all during football season, kind of get it, this is what I do, and then football season would stop. It's like, well, I'm going to keep doing all of the things I do in the off season to be a football player. And that's when she said, well, wait a second. When is the us time? You know what it is, though, to put it in a way that you'll love? It's couples retreat. Well, he has his thing, and you have your thing. Where's the us?
Yeah.
Because I don't see it.
And that's what
she was probably saying. Like, where's the us in all of this?
After hearing this, if he never met her, and whether he stayed with Bridget or not, or that never was going to exist, and he stayed single or whatever, and they only had one kid or whatever, he probably stays with his same schedule and just ends up here, ends up finishing here. I don't mean that. I mean it by, you go back a couple of years when he started to think differently, act differently. She got him more involved with all the worldly stuff. You know what I mean? Where I think he's a guy that would love to just train all year, be maniacal about it because you're getting older in age. He knows he's got to invest all that time, take care of his body. And football is a 365-day job for him. She made it not a 365-day job for him. She's the one that kept him away from OTAs and that. You know, and then you start going down. Metcalf start dressing up. He started to change when he met her a little bit. And everybody does change. People change you. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But, you know, like, hey, she was doing her little back-and-forth podcast or FaceTime or Instagram thing. Where do you want your husband to play? Hopefully somewhere nice, you know? So I think she thinks Tampa's pretty nice. Climate. I think she was done here. I don't think she enjoyed it here.
All right, more on him and Giselle. This part on going to therapy.
Did you go to, like, a family therapist to hear what she's saying? Because, you know, guys are the worst to hear. Did you?
So.
Yeah, we went to a marriage therapist.
She actually wrote me a letter, and it was a very thought-out letter that, you know, she wrote it to me, and I still have it, and, you know, I keep it in a drawer, and I read it, you know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage. And, you know, it's a good reminder for me that things are going to change and evolve over time. What happened and what worked for us 10 years ago won't work for us forever, you know, because we're growing in different ways, and, you know, I'm influenced by different people and situations, so is she. We're not together all the time. Then when you come back together, you know, she may have moved on an opinion or a feeling or a thought. I may have moved on an opinion or feeling or thought. And then how do you figure out a way to get it together? But, you know, for me, a healthy marriage wasn't what always worked for me. It was really, and it shouldn't be what always works for her. So even, you know, there's family decisions that are made. And I think for men, most men want to focus on their career. And it's very easy for men to focus on their career.
I wonder if Stedman kept them together. We're going to go talk to somebody.
Right.
You know? Tony Robbins. I mean, these are the, like, this, he started to get involved with these type of people, and he looks at things differently, and you change, man. I mean, you get that popular, that big, you do change. But boy, she wrote him a, he's got to come to Jesus letter from her, huh?
Yeah,
that's pretty good interview. That's pretty good interview, man.
That's good stuff. I mean, it got to the point where it sounded like, yeah, she was, you know, she was getting ready. I mean, a great follow up question. Not to,
we didn't learn this from Tom versus Tom either. You know,
Well, it's Facebook, it's Instagram. You put your best version of your life on social media. This is real. I would have loved to have heard in that letter, was there an ultimatum? Did she issue an ultimatum? Hey, you, dear Tom.
There's something shocking in that letter. Okay.
No,
there's something shocking in that letter
or,
that made him keep it.
You joke about Tom versus Time, but this is the time that it happened. It's after Tom versus Time. That was the very
Jim,
end.
You're right.
That final extra episode that released.
Jim, what are we doing this for? We got to answer our convictions, right? You got to ask the questions.
But he admitted he was doing his own thing, his own business stuff, his own stuff on his own. And Tom versus Time was one of those things before this happened.
Yeah, great point. Hey, they're out in Montana together. What are you drinking? What are you dragging your two little slot receivers out here for? Do you really need to throw with them for 4 days out here? Or can we just get on horses and go ride somewhere and look at bears? That's a bear over there. Yeah. This is good. This is really good.
And then there's this. One more clip on Tom and Giselle.
You know, she's been an amazing supporter in everything I've done. And, you know, she's a loving wife that tries to nurture the kids and our family and me, and she wants to take good care of me, but, you know, she also is a very hardworking, you know, she wants to save everybody, you know, she wants to be a great influence on the world.
She wants to save the world.
It's almost like she wants to save the world.
He wants to save everybody.
He rephrased it. He's good. He's damn good. Oh.
That's a problem.
But think about that, too. He is right. Like, he didn't realize the time because he's Tom Brady. But she's who she was. And, yeah, I mean, she had to take a step back and not be who she is to be with him, sort of. You know, we like to have fun with it, but there's a give and take here, man. Wow. Huh? Heck, got a letter. Keeps it in his desk drawer. Whew. Good stuff.
617-779-0985. You have any thoughts on the Brady interview with Howard Stern? Let us know what they are. He said that it was last summer that he started to realize he was leaving. 617-779-0985. We'll talk about that. Also, some other things to get to today, including the possibility of there being no baseball, among other items. We'll do it coming up in just a moment.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.